Hi guys, welcome back to our listener feedback episode. You're now tuned in to part two of the episode. Let's get stuck into it.
All right, so the next point that our listener wanted us to touch upon was our thoughts on equality. And by that, he meant financial equality and independence. I'm not really sure what he means by equality in the context of independence. I assume that means like the freedom of choice to do whatever you want. What do you guys reckon?
I think that seems about right. In terms of financial independence, I think there's always, like, if you're married and once you've gone through the process and you've agreed to live your life together, then I don't think you can really have serious financial equality. You can't just be like, I'm going to use this money to do whatever I want. Like, you do have some sort of, I guess, a reasonable obligation to the other person that you would think about them when you're using the money. So, and I think that's, it's the same for the other independence thing as well. Like, you don't get, like, there's equality, but you don't have complete independence. I think that's just the way it is when you're in a relationship. So I'm not really sure what to say about this question. I think, I don't, like, what's the financial equality here? Like, do it, like both man and woman get access to the money? Yeah, of course. Like that makes sense to me. So I don't know if I don't think we'd even question that.
Yeah, I think in arranged marriages, there's often an expectation that the husband's going to support the wife, right? And we talked about this as well. So maybe that's kind of where our listener's coming from. But in terms of financial equality, I mean, in my own relationship, you know, we have a joint account. Both of our salaries go into this account. And we have like certain priorities that have to be put before anything else. Like our rent has to be paid. Our bills have to be paid. You know, we need to like save some money. But at the same time, we also have our own credit cards and we don't really put a limit on that. We just spend at our discretion. But I guess the important thing is if you're on the same page, then it's fine. You're going to have equality.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think if one person makes more money than the other or whatever, I mean, you guys are married. You can't really be like, oh, I make more money than you, so screw you. I'm going to go on a holiday by myself. It just doesn't work like that in real life. You know, you just have to. You've thrown your lot in with that person, so that it is what it is. And in terms of independence, I would never expect that I could do something that I didn't want my husband to do, and vice versa.
Yeah, totally. And you try to include them in things that you're doing. So I think that's just how.
Yeah, but I mean more like if I want to go out and drink with my friends, then I'm not going to say, "Hey, you can't do that." Or
yeah,
exactly. Or like if I want to spend a lot of time at work, then I can't get mad at him for wanting to spend time at work, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I think in terms of that, I think you just have to treat people like you want to be treated in a relationship. And you can't sort of have like double standards in terms of what each person can do.
Yeah, yeah.
Bobby, what do you think?
Yeah, with the financial equality stuff, speaking from my own experience, so my partner in all likelihood will always make more money than I will. Unless I, you know, become, you know, start my own business and become this super successful businesswoman, most likely he will be making more money than me.
Hashtag girl boss.
Hashtag girl boss. Yeah. So that, you know, that's on the radar. I have my plans to, you know, take over the world. But failing that, my partner's always going to be making more money than me.
Who knows, Bobby? Maybe our podcast will finally make it big.
And we'll get a whole bunch of, maybe Shadi.com will sponsor us. What do you think?
So guys, yeah. How are we going to split those $2 three ways?
We knew we shouldn't have taken the sponsorship in rupees.
Yeah, so we have kind of talked about this, not in too much detail, I guess, but kind of in the way that, so being independent to me is really important. And part of being independent is, of course, making your own money. And that's kind of always been important to me, that I always want to feel like I'm paying my own way. But by the same regard, if we're going to get married and have this life together, it's like Star said, it's not going to be the thing like where my partner says, oh, I want to go on this amazing holiday that I can afford because I make XX amount of money. I'm not going to be like, oh, well, I can only join you for 20% of the trip because that's how much I make, you know. So it's just not going to work out that way. And so I think for me it was more kind of accepting that, look, I'm not going to always be able to bring a 50% contribution financially to the relationship,
And I just have to find my own ways of dealing with that. And, you know, if it makes me feel better, like not that it matters to him, but if it makes me feel better, then to contribute in other ways other than financially to make myself feel like I'm being independent and, you know, contributing equally to the relationship. Do you guys get what I'm saying?
I think you mean absolutely. Like you do you, like sexual favors? Is that what you mean? Yeah.
Oh, of course you'd go down that track, Molly.
Molly, they're not favors when you're in a relationship.
They're mutually wanted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I was also going to say, like, you know, if you're a woman and you decide you're going to have kids, then let's face it, there's going to be, you're going to miss out on employment for at least some part of your life.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think, you know, so you just have to suck it up, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so that really is my own issue then, my partner's issue. And I guess that's a little bit of like a modern woman, independent woman kind of struggle that, you know, yeah, this, you want to be on par and equal with a man, but at the same time, you're the one who physically is going to have to go through that process of giving birth and going through labor and, you know, needing to take time out, and that puts you on the back foot. So, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, Bobby, like, what goes around comes around, because I've been unemployed for a while I was changing jobs, getting my visa situation sorted out, things like that. And my husband's been supporting me in that time. But conversely, you know, when we moved to another country, I had a job and he didn't, and I was happy to support him. And, you know, in your life, you just go through these phases. Like, you don't know, you know, your fiancé could have some illness or might have to take time off for family reasons, or, you know, there's a lot of things that happen, right? And I think it's important that you feel like, you know, you don't have to ask each other for money or permission or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really important, that once you get into a serious relationship or a marriage, that you're not asking for permission, because the mindset should be that we're a team, we're one. And, you know, this is ours now. Yeah, so that's kind of my thoughts on the equality part of it. And with regards to the independent style, I completely agree with whatever you said. You should be treating someone the way you want to be treated. If you don't want to be told where you can go, who you can see, you should not be doing that to anyone else.
I think the next question is quite interesting.
All right, let's get to it then. So, our listener wants to know our thoughts on cheating. What do we think, guys?
I think it's interesting that, like, he or she felt the need to ask us what we feel about cheating, because I don't think anybody would have a positive view about cheating, like emotionally or physically. Like, you're being, like, even if you're in an open relationship, like, do you know what I mean? Like, cheating by nature is something that everybody would kind of hate. Like, everybody would, people might tolerate it to different degrees, but I don't see how it could ever be okay, or how anybody would ever be okay with it. Like, it's just, I don't know, like.
So I can maybe speak a little bit towards this, because shock horror, I was a really bad cheater in my first relationship. So no excuses, no defenses, but I'll give you guys some context for all of this and what went on in my mind to justify it at the time. So I was really young and I'd, you know, been seeing this guy for maybe a year, right? So like reasonably serious, but not like, I mean, how serious are you when you're like 19, 20, okay? At that time, I felt like, you know, if something isn't okay in this relationship, like we had a pretty bad relationship, to be honest. There were a lot of like negative and unhealthy things that were part of the relationship. Like, we're really codependent and, you know, we just had like bad habits. But hey, you know, you figure these things out, right, when you're young. But at that time, I justified it by saying, oh, like, if things aren't good, like, this is, I'm just like doing something that makes me happy. And if the other person doesn't find out, like, it doesn't hurt them. But that's like a really shitty thing. And I think it's a shit thing to think like that, because going back to like the last thing about equality, you shouldn't treat people the way you don't want to be treated. And I think that's a pretty good rule for anyone, not just like in a relationship, but also for your friends and family. So I think a lot of people feel like, oh, if I am unhappy at home, then it's fine if I do this, as long as like my significant other doesn't find out. But I mean, let's be honest, that's a bit of a problem, right? If you have a problem, like, talk about it, work through it. Don't just go and, like, fuck someone else. How is that going to, like, solve your problem? Like, that never solves your problem. It only makes it worse. But, you know, it's funny, Muli, you said that who's ever going to support it. But if you go on, like, a lot of relationship forums, there's a reasonably common view that, my wife / husband doesn't have sex with me, so, but everything else about our relationship is great and I don't want to ruin that. So if I just go to, like, a prostitute or have, like, a one night stand, that's okay because, like, I'm just fulfilling, like, a physical need and I don't want to hurt my spouse, but everything else about the relationship is fine. And I'm like, man, is it really though? Like, you're lying to your spouse, but you're saying your relationship is fine. Like, I don't accept that.
Yeah, I think I find that point of view pretty self-deluded as well.
I think even if genuinely everything else in your relationship is great, except for the sex thing, and you go out and cheat on them, I'm sorry, but more things are going to go wrong with your relationship now because you've brought dishonesty into it. So yeah, I wouldn't advocate for that at all.
Yeah.
And yeah, my thoughts on cheating are pretty much the same. I think we're all in consensus there. We're all against it. Who wants to be for it?
Yeah, but, I guess, yeah, that's right. Hashtag team cheating.
But maybe an interesting question to pose would be, say, you know, you've been married a while, you have kids and stuff like that. What do you think your reaction would be if your partner came to you and said, look, I cheated on you. It was a one-time thing. I was weak. It'll never happen again. What do you guys think your reactions would be to that?
I think it would have to be... I think I would have to break it off, I think. Because I think it's too much of a betrayal for you to ever trust them again. Because it's too much of a strain on the relationship for you to continue, I think. You would never be as happy in the relationship as you were before. I don't know. I don't have a lot of, like, experience with long-term relationships, so maybe Star has a different opinion.
Yeah, I think I would feel like, you know, if you did that, then there's nowhere we can go from here, you know. I have, so funnily enough, I have also been cheated on by someone, so I was
that seems
just a cheater.
That seems karmically fair.
Yeah, so I felt like the world got me back on that one. And for me it was sort of like, oh, if you've already gotten to the stage where you're, like, cheating on me, then what's even left for us to work on? You know, like, if you didn't trust me enough to bring up some issue earlier on, and this is what happened. But at the same time, I know people who've moved on from that, and I don't know how they did it. For me personally, that would be, like, a line in the sand. Like, I could move on from it, but I know other people have, and like I said, you know, everyone's different, and maybe they are more forgiving people than I am, and I'm just unforgiving and judgmental. But for me, that would be like, no, I couldn't move past that, I don't think. What about you, Bobby?
Yeah, I think, like, say in the context of, you know, been married a long time, have children, stuff like that, I don't think I'd be betrayed so much by the actual physical act of it as opposed to more feeling betrayed by, I guess that it kind of would expose how many other problems we'd been having or the person had been having with me that I hadn't been privy to. So I think that would be more the bigger betrayal for me that, oh, wow, so you had these issues with me that led you to cheat and you didn't bring any of them up, you know, and you took it that far that, you know, you waited till you actually cheated on me to bring it up. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't think the physical act would bother me as much as it would what it meant. So yeah, I think that would be the harder thing to get over. But I don't know that it would be a hard no for me, and it would be like, yeah, we're done forever. Get out of my life. I think I need to think about it a little bit more and really consider what the consequences of a divorce would mean before doing anything like that. But in saying that, if it were to happen at this point in my life where I don't have a family, I don't have children,
and I don't have those kinds of commitments tying me down, I think it'd definitely be a lot more like of a line in the sand for me. And I would be like, yeah, no, I'm not doing it, because this is showing some serious problems in our relationship that at this point doesn't, you know, maybe it'd be best if we go our separate ways and find other people who are more suited to us. So yeah, it really depends, I guess, on where I was in my life.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right. So that was kind of a heavy point, wasn't it, guys?
Yeah, it was.
All right. So I don't know if this is any more lighter, but would we ever consider sharing versions of actual profiles and conversations, and sharing the profiles with sensitive and private information redacted? I don't know, Muli. I think that would be a severe breach of privacy there, even with the redacted private bits redacted.
Yeah. I don't know if we should immediately take the high moral ground here, because we might talk about some conversations in the future. So should probably cover our asses a little bit. But at this point, we haven't really thought about it.
I think if we're talking about conversations, it's fair game, because you've been part of that and you're just sharing your point of view of how the conversation went. So I think that's completely fine to share. But talking about sharing actual profiles, I think that's pretty serious breach of privacy there.
Yeah, I don't think we would really go down that path. Yeah,
I agree. If we have like a really hilarious conversation on hand, guys, we might consider tweeting it out to you. But I don't think we'll be sharing profiles of people.
Okay. So the next question, how do different communities in India handle arranged marriage differently, if at all? I don't know. It's hard for us to offer a lot of insight on that, since Star and I are from the same community. And I think Bobby has given us some aspects of arranged/non-arranged marriage that are reasonably different from ours, I guess. Mainly that caste isn't that important for her family. But
actually, I wouldn't say that. Caste is not a thing in my community, but where you're from, regions apparently do matter. But I mean, overall, my experience with arranged marriage is very limited. So yeah, I can't offer much opinion as well.
Maybe this is something we could leave to one of our future guests to cover.
Yeah. I mean, we can crowdsource how your community does it if you guys want to talk about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Although I do want to say though, you know, India is a huge country and there's all sorts of like, you know, you'll find everything, right? So there's lots of marriage traditions that I would say are very unusual and aren't in any way arranged marriages. So there's marriage by abduction in some communities where like guys show up and like kidnap women and then marry them. And there's also some communities where elopement is very common. So, you know, and the parents kind of like go like nudge, nudge, wink, wink, like, oh, you guys eloped, you know, and it's fine. But I would say the majority of people have like an arranged marriage the way you're going through it.
What, through a website?
Through family, your family finding someone for you.
Yeah, yeah. And you talk to them like from varying periods of time, to a week, to a few months, to a day.
Yeah.
All right.
Lucky last to round this off.
Go on, Star. You can read this one out.
Our listener wants to know what our thoughts are about what family oriented means to you and others. That is to say, what the expected duties of a guy and that of a girl are. Cooking, earning, planning trips, etc. How have relationships divvied these up? So, I mean, I guess for me, it's like, I don't know if we're particularly, I'm not particularly family oriented, but my husband and I share most of the chores. Yeah, we pretty much share professional responsibilities in terms of like earning. I don't know what else to say.
That's a really personal thing as well, I think. So that depends on the people you're talking to. As long as everyone's happy with the arrangement, I think that's what you have to make sure, whether like you're taking advantage of somebody or whether they're taking advantage of you. You just have to, if you ever feel like that's happening, then you just have to be open about it and talk about it. But I think this is like, some people might be happy doing all the cooking. Some people might not be etc. So it's just some stuff everybody enjoys doing. And there's something that nobody enjoys doing. So that's what you do 50-50.
Yeah, but I can say that the expectations from the outside are probably something that cause more of a strain on a relationship like this than like what you want to do or you work out because...
Oh, yeah, what your parents think you should be doing and...
Yeah, exactly. Or like what your husband's parents think you should be doing, you know, like for, I've talked about how my mom thinks that I should be more wifely and like always cooking for my husband. But my husband loves cooking, so... You know, a lot of the times he really wants to cook. I don't think he'd be happy if I was like, I'm doing this every day. So, yeah, I mean, for me, it doesn't really mean much. But I think, guys, one thing we're not considering is that a lot of people might be going into like a joint family or might be, you know, they might have very unequal experiences in terms of what they're bringing to the relationship. For example, one person may have lived really independently and can handle a lot of things, and the other person might need like a lot of taking care of.
Yeah.
So I think that makes a difference as well. I can't imagine going into like a joint family and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to cook today, or
yeah, this
I'm not going
to
clean
this house. Might be a bit of a broad brush to paint it with, but if you're planning to marry a guy or a girl who's living with a large joint family, I'd probably decide not to go ahead with that one. So but if you have a choice.
Yeah. What about you, Bobby? What do you think family-oriented means?
Well, for me, family-oriented means kind of like a person who's putting family or making family a priority. So whatever decisions they're making, they're putting family at the top of that. And when I say family, I don't necessarily mean mom, dad, and kids. I think that as soon as you get married to someone, that's your own little family that you've created for yourself. So when I say someone's family-oriented, then I guess they're thinking about their partner whenever they make decisions. Like, you know, if they're going to come home late, they're going to let the other person know, you know, just so the other person doesn't worry about them. And that kind of the simple stuff like that, to me, that's family-oriented. And yeah, in terms of duties, I really wouldn't be getting into a relationship with anyone who expects certain things of me. Like expects me to do all the cooking or expects me to do all the cleaning because I'm a woman. I reckon that as long as two people are contributing financially to a relationship, then everything else should be equally shared as well. And it's fine if one person likes doing things more than the other, but there should be some kind of balance. Now, on the other hand, if I were staying at home, and you know, my husband was supporting me, then yeah, I think it'd be reasonable for the person who's bringing the money in to expect that they'll pick up more of the household chores, because like, what else are you doing sitting on your ass all day?
And I think it's a bit different if you have kids as well, right?
Yeah.
Like if you're staying at home and looking after kids all day, and or you have like a very young baby, then I know that can be a lot of work. So I would expect that my partner supports me in that situation.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be very impressed if, you know, I hadn't slept all night and I'd been looking after this baby and like he comes home and he's like, why isn't the house clean? Or why haven't you cooked enough?
Yeah, I mean this only in the context if there are no kids involved and you're just sitting at home doing nothing all day.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, come on, guys, you're adults. Just talk about it and work it out. It's not that hard. We all have to do things we don't like. I even have to wash dishes sometimes. So.
I think in terms of what it means to others, I think that's something like family-oriented is something they put in marriage profiles sometimes if the girl's like, I think homely is something else they put as well. I don't think they really understand what homely means in Indian marriage profiles. When I see that in a profile, I assume that it means that the girl like really likes to cook or clean or something like.
Or maybe it just really means that she prefers chai to like tequila shots.
Yeah, it's just that. It's just like a dog whistle for like, our daughter's not going to wear miniskirts.
Pretty much.
Strange men.
She's a good samskari girl, essentially. So if you're looking for that mystery email sender, look out for family oriented then.
All right. So I think that was a great email and that listener brought up some really good points.
There's a lot of good stuff in that email, that's for sure. And we hope whoever that is who sent us the email has some good times with the arranged marriage process or not.
Depending on all the best. And I hope you don't have to do this in a temple and decide in one day.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. definitely do not agree
so
to
we
that.
We had one more email that we'll just go over very quickly because they didn't ask us any questions, but we thought it was a really great email all the same. So we had a listener who we decided to call Radhika. That's not her real name. So she's in her mid-20s and lives in New Zealand. She moved to New Zealand with her family when she was really young. And she said that as soon as she was in her early 20s, her mom started asking her about arranged marriage and like kept trying to like nudge her towards it, but it put her off. And yeah, I mean, she has a really good relationship with her dad, so I think he was very supportive and like understanding of her point of view. But it's interesting, she said she went through a lot of similar conversations and processes as you, Muli, in coming to the decision that she was going to let her parents start looking for guys. And she met a lot of men through this and went on a few dates. And she wasn't particularly happy with who she'd met. One of the things that I thought was really interesting was she said that she went on a few dates and she thought they were mostly very victimized boys who felt sorry for themselves.
Ooh, does that sound familiar, Muli?
I know. And she also said she met a lot of cocky guys who were just looking for like the perfect wife who's gonna like cook and clean and have kids kind of thing. And it's just funny.
I feel like if there's a Venn diagram, I'm exactly in the middle of that. Like, cocky boy who wants a great woman and victimized boy together.
But
by the powers combined.
She went through this process. But you know, this story has a happy ending. She felt like her mom wasn't really coming up with the goods. So she said no and stopped the process. But her dad actually introduced her to someone and they hit it off straight away, similar sense of humor and stuff like that. And they've been dating for almost half a year now and she's quite happy in this relationship. So thanks for reaching out to us. There's a couple of funny things that I would like to touch upon, but you guys have read the email. What was your thoughts about this?
Well, I think we know what I think is the best part of the email. Radhika, I loved reading your email. Thank you for sending it through. I love the fact that she used the word bull shizzle. I think that's just great. She was like, all this arranged marriage, bull shizzle. Like, I think that's something I will keep in mind for future use. And the other thing that I loved was that she said that her parents also made her lots of unappealing profiles. And she thought that it was a great contraceptive. Okay, first of all, Radhika, I hope you have more reliable methods of contraceptive in the future. But in terms of like efficiency, I think like Indian parents made marriage profile is up there, like top five. In terms of contraceptive percentages, I reckon.
Yeah, I agree. So one interesting thing that she did say that maybe hasn't filtered through to you, Muli, but has definitely like come to me through mom and dad, was her mom said to her, hey, look, you're not like a supermodel or a doctor. And I like that how those are the two categories of those are the two categories of like success. It's like you're either very good looking or you're a doctor. So, you know, don't have such high standards for men. Just bloody say yes to someone. And I think obviously that's very hurtful to hear from your parent that they're like, hey, just, you know, say yes to whatever guy. But she did say that, you know, this really kind of wasn't a very nice thing to hear. And our mom and dad have been saying similar things about you, but they probably haven't said that to you.
I don't need to. Star, my self-confidence meter is already low from last week. You don't have to throw this into the mix here. Jeez.
No, but in your case, it's not that, oh, Muli isn't a supermodel or a doctor. In your case, it's like, oh, he's doing his PhD and, you know, why doesn't he just like finish up and go get a really well-paying job so we can make him more marketable to women? And I don't understand why.
All right. Well, they had the choice of waiting until I finished my PhD and they decided to do it before, so this is on them.
Yeah, I agree, but it's just funny where they're like, oh, we just wish she was making more money because all these women are making like $100,000 a year. I'm like, I
wouldn't mind a wife who's making $100,000 a year. That would be nice. Yeah,
I was like, yeah, I think Muli would make a good house husband, so you should definitely keep down that track.
Yeah, where are these girls?
But yes, we do. We love getting these emails. So please send us more if you have any other thoughts about our podcast. And it was really fun to do an episode on listener feedback.
And yeah, please use words like bullshizzle, which nerdy people like us don't hear very often these days.
Speak for yourself, Muli. I use cool words like that all the time. For example, yeah, you're full of bullshizzle, Muli. Thanks for introducing the word to us, Radhika. Like Star said, we had such a good time this episode, taking on your feedback and giving our opinions on it. I think this was a really fun episode. So definitely keep the conversation going. Do continue to email us. We really love it. Every time we get one, it's like, oh my God, you know, let's open it and see what they have to say. So, yeah, as always, if you have any comments, we'd love to hear them at arrangemarriagepodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at AMMIMpodcast. We'd also like to thank Kevin McLeod for the use of his song Narayana in our theme. Till next week, guys, thanks for listening, and thank you, Muli and Star.